Sun is shining in East London. I don't know about where you boys are. We're online today. So is it shining there?
Can I just say that was such a... that the way you started that podcast was like, sun is shining there. Is it shining where you are?
Everyone's well happy.
That was the start of someone who's a bit annoyed, a little bit frustrated about something that's...
I'm sorry, why are you taking my job away from me? I'm going to be the miserable one.
Sun is shining anyway. happy days are here. Let's all cheer up. Let's all be happy.
You're right, babes.
I tell you what went through my mind. Yeah. I was going to start the podcast and go, oh, guess what? This week I am Satch because I am so mullered. I'm so tired. Yeah. I've been at it all weekend. And I thought, you know what, Tommy? No, don't. Don't be that guy. Don't start the podcast with that kind of negativity. Yeah. And also, I'm a big believer that if you would kind of admit to yourself that you're tired, or if you admit to yourself that you're ill, you will be ill, you will be tired. Right?
You know, but the thing is, I don't like. It's different. I can say that to you guys. Don't go around saying it to everybody, do I? I mean, I say it on the podcast, so everyone does kind of hear
vibes,
it.
Though. You still give off those vibes. You don't go around smiling.
What do you mean?
Okay.
Smiling's another thing. There's no need to smile. We've spoken about this before.
No need to smile.
But being tired, like, you know, when, like, say, for example, you're turning up to do an event, like, Tommy, you know this, you could be as battered as you want. It's the same with me. I could be as battered as ever. But when you go to do your job to DJ or to host something, you've got to turn it on and just do it. No one's going to know. Exactly.
But I think, Kedge, your default kind of way of being is actually quite cheery. Like, he'll be really nice to people. If you meet him, super nice, friendly, engaging, ask questions. And I think I'm the same. Like, I remember I met someone who was a friend of a comedian. And she goes, oh, hello, Mr. Smiley. Oh. Like that. She didn't know me. She was just like you're smiling a lot. And I wasn't actually. I was just actually waiting on the side while the comedian friend talked to him. Is that your smile, Satch? You looked uncomfortable.
It looks like it's trying to squeeze one out.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, am I like overly smiley then? Should I be a little bit cooler about it, whatever? But I think you're quite smiley and happy. Satch, you won't. You'd be like, all right, you'll do that. But I think Kedge's personal people skills... All right, but then don't get me wrong. When you walk away, Kedge will cuss the shit out of you. But in that moment, it'll be really nice to you. Really, really like, But you would though. You would. I'm saying, and I like to be nice. I think it's nice to be nice, particularly in the sunshine.
All right, so should we start again?
Hi.
There we go. That's better.
Yeah, we're online.
Yeah. So we are in the midst of heatwave Britain. Isn't it a wonderful thing? We're in June. We finally got sun. It's not cold anymore. It's been hitting. I mean, I was away for the hottest day of the year, but I think what was Thursday, Friday, it hit about 30 degrees. Am I right?
32, I think, okay. Friday or Saturday, one or the other.
Scorcher. I heard Scorcher. People were looking for fans because it was like getting so hot, and they've only just realised that, oh, it's June, it's summer, we need to buy a fan because it might get hot. So people were on the scramble and the hunt for a fan. But then what they were doing is they were going and looking at the reviews of fans, and people were moaning that they weren't working. Well, of course it's not going to work if it's in a past 30 degrees. Do you know what I mean? It's only going to give you the hot air back out again. Do you know what I mean? So I thought it's quite funny how people leave reviews for fans. Because it's always going to work.
It's not the fan's job.
The fan can only blow.
Exactly, what's going into it. So of course it's, oh, this fan's useless. It doesn't even break. Well, probably because it was maybe 40 degrees at the time when you were trying to use it.
Right. But what else can you really say about a fan? Oh, it's got good oscillation.
Yeah, exactly. It was circulating well. Oscillation, by the way. Oscillation.
But, I don't actually enjoy the fan feeling. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, some people sleep with that breeze, sleep with the bucker. I don't want that.
So you're telling me in this weather you've not been sleeping with a fan?
Need a
well,
fan.
I was on the road all weekend. So I was on the hotel. Oh. I was in hotels all weekend. Actually, can I tell you that? On Friday, right, I went to a show in Derby, did an event at a restaurant, nice restaurant called Brown's. They do lovely home-style food, home-cooked kebab. Brown's
what food
in
did
Derby.
They make in the Browns? Brown food?
Like kebabs and chicken.
Brown food.
Oh, right, yeah, it was run by brown people. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know if that's maybe. Yeah.
Do you remember the club, Browns? Satch, remember that? Whites.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Wasn't it a strip club?
No. Well, I don't know.
There no, is. I think there is. Yeah. No, I think there is.
You went,
but I know Kedge. No, Kedge was on about the one in Harrow. Yeah. It was full of Harrow people. I didn't really go there, Kedge.
I've never been there. I was always asked to go down there. I never went there.
I never been there. You always there, mate. What do you mean? They've got a picture of you on the wall.
Hold on. Rewind. What do you mean you are always asked?
No, because people like, it would be one of those ones where on a Friday, oh, let's go Browns. Because it was the local.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Is it the spice rack?
Yeah, it was like a pre-spice rack.
Yeah, kind of was.
That's exactly it. All right. So you were up in Browns. Well,
I'm in Derby. So I do that Friday night. Then on Sunday, so this is, bear in mind, I'm a husband first, dad, meaning I've got to do those kind of duties that are required of me.
Well, hang on a minute, I'm not sure about that, because last week you said that you missed Father's Day on Sunday.
Exactly, because I'm putting in Father's Day 365 days a year, all right? Where was I on Father's Day? I wasn't chilling, I didn't have a day off to myself, I just went and worked. So in the same way, that's what fathers should be doing, working, right? But this one, Derby restaurant, whatever, then on Sunday, I had to be in Manchester.
Right.
So what do I do? I live in London. Derby show on Friday night. You've got Manchester on Sunday. What would you do on Saturday?
I would go and make sure I'm in Euston Station on a Sunday morning and, see what happens from phones, from last week. Yeah.
Okay, so you would. What I'm saying is, on the Saturday, would you have come back home then?
No, of course not. I would have stayed up there. Or gone to Manchester and stayed there.
Now you're in Derby on Saturday. You're going to get picked up from Derby on Sunday morning and driven to Manchester for the show.
Lovely.
The next gig. So what do you do in Derby all day on a Saturday to yourself, on your own, in a hotel?
What do you do in Derby anyway?
I've not done this ever.
Yeah, isn't it? What do you do in Derby? Do you know, I've never been Derby.
Never?
No, me neither.
Nah, there's been no need for me to go to Derby, ever.
It's a relative's place. It's a place I don't think you go there.
There's a lot of Punjabi relatives. Punjabi relatives.
Even if I had relatives, I wouldn't go see him.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't go see him. No,
why are you hating on Derby? Derby's...
Have you got rallies up there, Tommy?
What?
No, but in and around, not far away, 30, 40 minutes away.
Yeah, no, I've noticed there's a lot of Punjabi people who live in Derby, I think.
Yeah, there is. Punjabis and Derbys. Punjabis and Derby. Well, it was weird because I had a day off. So this is what I want to kind of throw to you boys, right? You have it. And I think as you get older, you get busier and you're told to be more effective with your day. Hey, how are you winning today? Yeah. How are you the hardest working person in the room? Blah, blah, blah.
Set the agenda rather than letting other people set the agenda for your day.
Right. Or feeling the pressure of an agenda.
Yeah.
Because we should all be get up, go gym, squeeze that in early. Then you're ready to hit the desk or whatever, or do some work or something. And I was like, I've got the day to myself.
What'd you do?
Bruv, I stayed in the room and I did F all. Wow. I stayed in a quite crap hotel all day on my own and just I nodded off. Well, I went to the gym. I did, because it was about 8-9 minutes away just from a local David Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there for about 2-3 hours in the morning, had a nice sort of workout, spa session, all that.
Lovely.
Got back. But how guilty. I'm telling you now, I'm whispering it slightly because my missus is in the other room with the kids. And I just said to her, but I confess, I went, I haven't done anything.
And how did that go down?
Well, if I'm honest, she didn't deal with it very well. She didn't deal with it very well. No, because she took me having the day off as a reflection of how much work she'd
got. Yeah, you've got it easy, bro.
Right.
See, it was and I said, no. I said, there's no correlation here. Don't correlate my lazy day with your busy day with the kids. Just be happy for me having a lazy day. She couldn't be happy for me.
No, you can't. You couldn't be happy.
I'd be happy for her. I would go, well done, you've got a day off, chill, enjoy it, sleep, I'll see you in a few hours, I'm having a mad one with the kids. But she was like, well, I'm glad you are, because blah 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 blah, and these are all the dramas going on. Right. And I just went, okay, I'm still not at home, there's still nothing I can do, you're on your own. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm up here in the Midlands.
And then, was it hot up there as well?
Like, roasting. And this hotel was so crap. And it was run by Desi's. I'm not gonna lie. There was a
what?
Love it. So it was like a B&B. I don't want to say the name, but it was very like a hotel-y B&B, but very, very close to Derby Station. So that's all I wanted, because I thought, I know I was getting picked up from there the next morning, on that Saturday morning, so I wanted to be close.
God.
But he's like, hello, sir, how are you? Oh, I see from your car, you are Punjabi, you are Sikh. Oh, okay. I went, all right, go home. Minu bhi Punjabi on the, I went, all right, you Punjabi, because he had a car on as well. And he goes, no, but all my friends are Punjabi. If you want to have a good time, you got to have a Punjabi friend. I was like, all right. Then he did something, which is quite unique. He did something that you get in top-notch hotels, because the lift wasn't working. Yeah. Three floors, had to walk up in the heat.
Yeah.
Got to a hotel room. And he walked me into this dirty room, I'll be honest. and showed me around it. He showed me around, like it was a suite. You know, like you're in like in some balling hotel room, like the butler's gonna come up with you. Yeah. He came up there and he was like, so we have a shower? I went, yep.
Yeah.
And your bed is there. I went, yep, yep.
Thank you.
And
goes, know where that is.
And the window was open, he goes, everything okay? I went, yep, it's all good. Like,
lovely.
And I'm looking at him like, if you're looking for a tip, you He's are in the stay. Wrong city, in the wrong place, in the wrong time. And then he went, okay, sir, please have a good time. Okay, bye bye. And off he goes. But
he wanted to stay with you, Tommy. Yeah, no, he wanted to. So. He was like, "This is our shower. This is our bed.
Yeah.
Your big spoon.
I was even the left. He was even the right. You don't mind, no? You want to be big chumcha? I like big Punjabi chumcha.
Exactly. I think you didn't get the hint, mate.
And then, as I would go past him downstairs when I went out and get food or whatever, he would come out from the desk, like you know, behind the counter. And Ooh. Do me a little, and do a little double hand handshake. You know when they take two hands and grab your one hand for a handshake. That's all of that.
Yeah,
a bit OTT.
It wasn't your hand that you wanted to shake, mate.
Well, and then I woke up in the night and he was on top of me. No, he was. He was like, "Hello, sir. Are you okay?" No, but my whole point, sorry, is I did nothing. I went to the gym.
That's and good.
Slept because it was so hot. Slept a bit. There was no AC. Woke up, had a wrap, went back to sleep. Woke up, ordered a pizza, went back to sleep.
See, but that's your idea of doing nothing is going to sleep, Tommy. Whereas when I do nothing, I don't want to go to sleep because I think that's wasting time. I want to still kind of do something while doing nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. That's my wife wants to do like a something nothing.
But yeah.
I'm like, no. What about a nothing nothing?
Like no, but a there isn't. Just go sleep.
Just don't talk to anyone.
It's difficult. It's difficult.
What would you do, Kedge? On a proper look right now, you've got a clear agenda. You're like that. You're up in a city away from home. No one's around. And you could start ringing people.
I couldn't sit in the room like you did. I'll go bugger.
Yeah, I don't think I could either.
Can I be honest? I loved it.
Really? Yeah, good for you.
I loved it so much. I think I was just
Satch, how are you finding the heat?
And I really...
Yeah, no, this heat. Do you know what? Like, I don't want to be one of them guys that got that, because everyone says this, oh, don't complain about the heat. I'm not complaining about the heat. Do you know what? I love it. The daytime is lovely. And now that I've got rid of hay fever as well, I'm actually really loving the heat. But at night, we need to do something to just turn the notch down.
So you're complaining about a few clicks.
No, but I'd say nighttime heat.
The heat, Saj. You're being like a white person now.
No, but I think I'm not being funny, but like you know, it's been a few days last week where I think maybe 3-4 nights in a row I just didn't sleep well, and that is because of how hot it's like.
3-4 days, Saj. It's okay.
No, I get that, but like you've got to understand that, you know, having bad sleep for 3-4 days, and when you've got to do something on a weekend like perform and be awake and be there, it's quite difficult to do because then you don't feel like you're on your A game. Do you see what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's not cool. Like that's the only thing I'd say. Don't get me wrong, I'm loving it so far.
Yep.
But the nighttime, maybe I need to go and leave a bad review for my fan.
I was
going to
say, you need to leave a bad review on a fan, mate, because it's obviously not working.
Honestly, it is what it is. I mean, you know, you can't say, oh, when it, you know, nice and hot in the day and then not have it at night. It is what it is.
It was very hot at night. I actually woke up thinking this is like I was just sweating, forehead sweating, back of the neck sweating.
Yeah.
Surely this is the only weekend of the year, probably the last few years I remember, that it was worthy of just complete naked sleeping, which I don't really feel comfortable with. Normally,
no, but you've got, you know, if you've got to do that, you've got to do that. Sometimes you just got to, do you know what I mean, whip it all off to get to sleep. And I'm an advocate.
And you had the hotel, you had the hotel staff with you as well. So it's fine.
I did. I had Pratik. Yeah. But would you? Because there's something about sleeping completely naked in the heat. You feel like if something goes down, you're not ready. You're not ready for an emergency.
What do you mean if something goes? Oh, like if there's an evacuation.
fire.
Yeah, the evacuation. From, yeah.
Someone bangs the
I
door.
I always keep them handy, though. I always keep them handy. I hang off the door handle or something.
What, like you're like a little bra? And
yeah, just the shorts or something, you know, like a little vest. Something ready to, you know, just slip on and run.
Okay, a little vest you want to slip on.
Yeah, just...
So while you do the... Wherever you're going to run after, you want to look... Yeah, just... You want to look a little bit sexy.
Yeah, just, you've got to look hot. So...
Pink.
Yeah, yeah. But...
No, really. So sorry, just... let me get the visual here. You're completely naked, Ked. You're mad.
To be fair, I there have been times when I have, but I like to keep on the shorts.
Yeah, same here.
I don't know what that is about, but I do like to keep
the shorts on. I'm always wearing shorts. That's it.
Yeah.
Got to wear shorts.
I think it's a vulnerability thing. Even though you don't need it, you're in bed.
Yeah, it's
whatever,
a vulnerability thing. I just, you know, just in case, if anything happens, at least
imagine if someone breaks in they're confronted with that.
Someone breaks in and I'm going to confront them. I'm not going to be able to confront them with nothing on. They'll laugh. Do you know what I mean? Actually, that might be a good way of getting rid of them. If I do confront them with nothing on. But at least, I just like Tommy said, I feel like it's like a cricket box. Do you know what I mean? It's just covering the essential. I'm ready for a fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Ready. I'm ready to fight. Why? Come on, my nighttime country.
See, this is a reaction. If an invader like Seth comes in and I just jump out of Star Wars, that's what's going to happen. Look at him; he can't compose himself.
I'd leave. I'd jump back out the window. Be like, "Gone, mate." I don't want nothing to happen with this Diddy party. It's got nothing to do with me.
In my head,
let me get out of here.
You know, at the start of Terminator 2, when Arnold Schwarzenegger lands and he's completely naked, right?
Yeah.
And then after him, the police officer lands, the skinny guy, and he's just there squatting. That's Kedge. So you go into the room. Kedge is there. In a
like, for sure.
That's him. Something from Lord of the Rings has just
great.
You broke
great.
Into.
What a vision to have. Anyway, Kedge,
were you on top of duvets or were you under? Because that's the other thing. I slept on top of the duvet, which I'd never normally do. Again, I don't feel like I'm fully sleeping.
No, we got to be covered. You got to be covered.
Yeah, I agree. But it was too hot to be covered.
Well, this is why
I don't think it's duvet. You got to get something
this
else.
Is why
it's
I
not
mentioned
duvet.
A cooling
not
blanket duvet. Last week, and I got a few people.
Oh, here we go. This guy's on the take.
What is this cooling blanket that you're on about? And I'm just looking it up to see if I can find it.
Well, has it got fans in there? Was it like one of them ones? Is it actually like a digital electronic one?
I found it. This is the one. If you just type cooling blanket into Amazon, right?
No. Don't give it a plug. We ain't sponsoring this.
Cooling blanket. It's about 40 quid, and you can get them in blue, you can get them in green, you can get them in pink. This is the actual one. I'm just going to say it. Because you know what? It might save an Asian person's life. It's called a home find. Cooling blanket for nine. 42 quid, 40
Or
quid.
You could just get...
It's weighty though. That's why it's weighty, but it just keeps the air circulating, and it's a beaut. So give that a go. But I was in Isle of Wight over the weekend because if you remember last time,
the festival.
I was there for the festival. Yeah. So I was slightly.
Okay. How was it?
Well, it was brilliant. I had slightly less temperatures than you guys did, so we were on the cusp of about 24, 25. So it was not mega hot.
Perfect. That's probably more
exactly.
Ideal.
And
that's
you're sort of always surrounded by Barney, so you get a nice breeze coming in. There were moments of like a little bit of grey cloud, but then it'll come back again. The sun come out, and then it'll be searing heat. But you know that's the best because there was no mud. It's Kedge's. You know, Kedge was popping his festival cherry, and he was. I was not looking forward to it. But there was no mud and it was all dry. I could wear trainers all day. I was in shorts and t-shirts. Got the tan on.
Can I quick bit of geography? Yeah. Isle of Wight, is that like quite a big island? Like is it
what are you comparing it to?
London? Is it the size of London?
You can go from one side of Isle of Wight to the other side in about 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's tiny. Yeah,
it's not very. Okay. Yeah, it's got like very villagey. Mm. You know, like Postman Pat. Do you remember Postman Pat? It looks like that.
Yeah, it's like very hilly.
Hilly.
It's very hilly.
Lanes, but it's a lovely place. It's a lovely place. Obviously, I grew up there doing caravan holidays.
I've been years ago, but I just can't remember. I'm like big
Portsmouth, isn't it?
From Portsmouth, yeah.
Got to go from Portsmouth.
Yeah.
So okay, so the whole island's taken over by the festival.
So literally, it's like empty apart from this one weekend in June where everyone descends onto the island and all the ferries are full of you know festival goers. It's a family festival, so it's all ages involved. It's not just you know like Glasgow maybe where it's a bit more adulty. So it's like it's got everyone's there. I was lucky to mingle. I met Sting, guys. It was quite a moment meeting Sting.
Oh wow!
You know, 72. Mm. The Kaka is still he's rocking so well. He looks so fit, wow, healthy, and he's a lovely guy. I had a nice little moment with him where he nicked my microphone. It was stuck to his shirt, and so I had to. And he goes, "Oh, don't want to forget this one, brother." And I was like, "Oh yeah, thank you." Shook his hand. I thought I've shaken Sting's hand, so that was quite a moment. Stereophonics were there. There was some Jess Glynn was there, and obviously the man who I was really looking forward to, and no one else from my team was looking forward to, was because they're all into proper music, and I'm into Justin Timberlake. Mm. So, but I couldn't wait. So you know, and I have to put out a public apology because I went to see Justin Timberlake. Probably yep. When I was 20, so that would have been in the early 2000s, and his concert was rubbish and I was really let down. But this right. he brought his band, it was 25 piece band or something, backing singer. Wow. It was a show, and he was dancing, and you know, he was really good, and he just did hit after hit after hit. What else do you want?
Good on him. So, he's a performer.
Yeah,
he's one of very few people that can do that.
Mm.
So just to put that on the Sting thing, isn't it, which way around is it? Diddy pays Sting.
Yeah.
Do you know this one?
No, so he Puff gets Daddy. Paid. He gets paid every time I'll Be Missing You gets played by Puff Daddy.
Because
It's a daily fee. It's
$2,000.
Yeah, he'll get the royalty. No, but again, it started with $2,000. Now it's $5,000.
Okay, yeah.
Diddy came with the. I remember that because it was $2,000 a day, and Diddy went, "It's not $2,000, people. I'm paying him $5,000
a day." He's now paying him. He's now paying him just $2,000, and then $3,000 worth of bottles of Uftel is how that.
Deal. Yeah. Exactly. Just for using the hook of I'll Be Missing You. So Timberlake, definitely your highlight.
Yeah, but did you even see Sting as well? I thought it was he's brilliant, isn't he? He's still got it, and obviously we interviewed a lot of other artists as well. So I was lucky to see a lot of other artists as well, which is always fascinating, you know, hearing from the people back in the day, you know, who worked with like on Live Aid and all of that kind of stuff. There was a fella called Midge Ure. You know him? You heard of him?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
So I was, you know, in his dressing room.
Look at that, just looks confused.
Yeah, he was instrumental in the Live Aid. Him and Bob Geldof. You know, this guy wrote the lyrics. He never got all the credit for it, but he was instrumental.
Interesting.
But
so you were in his dressing room.
I was in his dressing room. Yeah, filming him, and he was a lovely man.
Kedjur and Midjur.
Yeah. And then, but I've got to tell you the funniest thing.
Like they both sound good, right?
Well,
yeah.
Midjur and Kedjur.
Midjur and Kedjur.
So anyway, it became the joke of the whole thing because basically it was the white people I was with, they were just couldn't fight. They found it so funny that I was the only brown person on the whole island. And that's why it was known as the Isle of Wight, because there was only the one Asian who, you know, luckily I was lucky enough to do some yoga in the mornings by the beach. And they were like, "Kedge, you could absolutely build a whole business here because you'd be the only one who could set up a yoga retreat in Isle of Wight."
Just imagine you're at the Isle of Wight Festival, you look out your window at the sea view, you're going, "Look at that little brown guy down there." And he's just there doing his little stretch.
Absolutely.
His little
Absolutely.
Lego
it's money
retain.
To be made.
Good on you.
Money to be made.
Good on you. Good time though. Good time.
It was a brilliant time. And yeah, you know what? I was telling Sad, I was like, it's a shame we can't organise anything like that.
Oh, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this again. Just shut up.
We can. We can organise something like that.
No, we can't. We can't. No one cares. No one's going to come to shit.
No, they will. They will come. But we have to think more than the usual suspects of the same people who were performing 20 years ago.
No. Just forget about it. What else has happened this week, Tommy?
Well, I just want to say, firstly, you talk about festivals get me excited because this weekend's Glastonbury and I'm going for the first time.
Ooh, lovely.
So I'm very excited about
See, that's a proper festival.
Yeah, right, there'll be Asians there.
200,000 people
go
to Glastonbury.
Incredible.
That's a lot.
Incredible.
Because there were 60,000 a day at Isle of Wight.
There you go, over the 3 days?
60,000 every day.
Yeah, 3 days. Was
it 3 days.
Yeah. See, and again, out in the sunshine like that, that's what you want from the Isle of Wight Festival. You want to be out in the sunshine. You want to be just partying, chilling.
See, hang on a minute. If you're going Glastonbury, isn't it like you got to roll in there on a Wednesday or something when the gates open and try and find the tent pitch up and all of this kind of shit? Like, how does that work? What do you do? What are you doing?
We've got accommodation. We've got like a caravan glamping thing on site.
You've got a caravan?
Yeah, it's like for the artists, for performing people's, like, we're, because we're going to the comedy tent, obviously. I'm not doing a band number. And then so you get accommodation.
Wow.
So that's why I'm like...
Is there now hotels there?
There probably are, but the hotels are going to get snapped up.
Yeah, they'll be gone by now.
And even I happen to be around there filming for like Kingfisher Beer or whatever, around Bristol Ways, whatever. And it says, go into Glastonbury. Like, this is what you need to know. You know, like, you get off at these stations, you've got to get further away and then get yourself there. And it's just, imagine 200,000 people descending on anywhere.
But this caravan thing's putting me off, Tommy.
No, but it's, well, I feel like that's more solid than a...
Yeah, it's more solid, you know, it's more solid than a tent.
Than camping stuff. Yeah. At least you've got a roof.
I've got that to come.
Come up one day.
I've got that to come.
And we got parking on site, so you can take your blankets and all that kind of stuff. So you make pillows. Sure all that. Why have you got that to come, Kedge?
I'm going to be next at the Latitude Festival. So I'm going to be in a tent.
Latitude is supposed to be the one because it's a family one.
That's another family one. Yeah, that's where we did the Desi one last year. But I'm going to be there for like the whole 3 days.
Yeah, that was last year, wasn't it? Can I just say how far Latitude was?
It's a long drive.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to.
I didn't get back till six in the morning.
Yeah, no, neither did I. And we finished at three or something, and it took forever to get there. And it was like in the middle of a jungle.
Yeah, and it's it was no lights on the roads. It was horrific.
It's horrible,
The thing that excites me about Latitude, though, and I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, I'm not sure, is I woke up one morning and I looked out the window and I saw my three neighbours opposite loading up their vans.
Wow.
Right? And I remember thinking, this is like something out of Independence Day. Like, you know, like everyone, what's going on? Like they're putting beds and all that. And I actually wandered down. They're still loading up the van. I went, what's going on? They go, we're all going to Latitude. All three of those houses had decided to pack there. But it's like £1,000 a ticket for the weekend.
£1,000. It's not £1,000, but it's
if you want to glamp it, if you want to stay in some half decent accommodation, then I'm telling you, it's a lot of money. But what are you doing at Latitude?
So we're going with Virgin Radio because we're filming and we're doing quite a big thing. So yeah, I'm going to be across all the video social content.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Quite a big thing. Okay, well, lots of travelling around. Yeah. Lots of travelling around on trains. And as you know, I like to travel around on trains. I travel on trains all the time, do my shows and stuff. And I've had, last week I told you about my little train saga with the guy watching naughty videos on his phone and the phone dropping out the cubicle.
Yep.
This weekend, a different thought came into my head, right?
Here we go.
I need you guys to almost treat this, and in fact, everyone listening, treat this like you're in a courtroom.
Okay.
Think about life, right? Because I've got this big thing in my head in general that life is actually quite unfair, and there's lots of imbalances, things that just don't make sense are sort of excused, they got away with. You're like, how's that possible? How does that go on in 2025? You know, like, even all this war stuff, I'm like, really? Why don't just two people, one head of one country, one head of another country, just get together in a ring and just sort it out, have a fight? Why has everyone else got to die? Why has all these other people got to be pulled into it? And all the time. Anyway, that's a side note. But I'm on the train. I'm on the tube. The tube goes to my stop, but three or four stops before that, my stop, the tube guy goes, this train now is going to terminate at the next stop.
Oh, right? That's annoying. That's annoying, isn't it?
Everyone get off, stay on the platform. Next train will be along in a minute. Okay, cool. As the doors opened, when we got to that stop where the train was terminating, there's loads of people on the platform. But people got off the tube, took one step off the tube onto the platform, turned around and stood there waiting for the next train. Meaning they got off the train and they went to the front of the queue of everybody who was stood on the platform to wait for the next train. Does that make sense? Because they're right by the door.
Yeah.
So, and I suddenly thought, I don't know if that's right.
Why?
I don't know if that's fair. I think you should have to come off the train. I think, but I haven't discussed it with anyone. The only place I can discuss it with you guys. You have to come off the train and join the back of that queue. Because that would be like saying, well, I had that chair. I had that chair in the last train. Give me that chair again. Do you see what I mean? You wouldn't do that. Whereas you would step off a train, turn around, face the train doors and go, well, I'm next on then.
Hang on a minute. If they've done that, so are you telling me they're blocking everyone getting off the train then?
But people on the platform are stood there because the platforms are getting busy. Because
I'm talking about people, because if you've just come off by the door and you're just stopped right by the platform, does that mean people behind you are still on the train? What happens then?
What I mean is they just stand, because people slightly open up, don't they, when the doors open, they go to one side. Yeah. Mm. So that all just gets filled with the people coming off the train until they're on the, I suppose you've got to keep moving up until everyone's off a little bit or step to the side. But what I mean is my issue is you get to come off one train and call dibs on being the first one on the next train. I'm not sure.
I think that's fair.
Over to you.
That's how it should be. That is absolutely how it should be, because you've had to step off the train. You were already on the train. So, of course, you get first dibs.
But the next train is of no link and correlation to that train. Like, the next train is fair game for everybody.
You've just had to get off.
There's a queue. Yeah, but so the other people are having to wait.
Yeah, but that's just how it is, mate. Is that just how it is? I think that's just I would expect to. I mean, the other day that was the situation where I had to come off the train. I had to come off the door, off the train. Me and this other lady. So I came out. She came out first, and then me. Right.
Yeah.
To let the other people off, and then when we were going back in, I should go first, and then the woman, because that was the order. But she just pushed in front of me and went in first. That is wrong as well.
Okay.
You've got to do the same order.
The funniest bit is a woman pushing Boss Cage. I would love to see that.
You've got to have a little. You've got to have order. We're in England. Let's follow the rules and regulations.
Yeah. Okay. What about this then? So if you're saying they're the last ones off, they're the first ones in, and all that kind of thing, that's okay, right?
Yeah.
When a new shopping till opens up, do you know what I'm going to say? What can anyone? Can someone from behind you?
It depends where you are. It depends where. If I'm in VB and Sons, it's a free for all. Whoever gets there first gets in. If you're in Tesco, there will be someone probably in front of you. If they spot it, you have to let them go first because they're in front of you.
Do you not think you? Okay, you don't think you have to tap them and go, That's open. Do you want to move, or do you mind if I go? That kind of thing.
No, maybe if they don't see it, then you get at the front.
Yeah. See. So in that same way, in that free-for-all way that you're saying that the tills open up, right, rush, everyone goes there, because there's no stopping some people. They'll just go, new till, it's Tazamal.
The new till is a different proposition, because I just think it's a new till.
No, it's not. It's the same as the trains. That till's closed. Yeah, this one's going that in your direction.
Theoretically, it should be the person who's behind in the queue that's waiting who should go there first. Sometimes they might be a little bit slow off the marker. They're not that fast. If they don't see it, go for it.
See, it's a debate.
It's a great debate.
It's the real life.
I'm not sure about that, because I don't know. It depends on the situation. Say if you're in a rush, then you know it don't matter what tube. If you miss a tube and you get on the next one, it's cool, isn't it? It don't matter.
Yeah, but that's you being all zen and chilled.
But it just depends on the situation.
I don't like waiting on the underground for a train and then not getting on it. If the train comes, I'm getting on it. I hate to let one go. I can't.
But what if you can't get on it?
I'm squeezing on.
Oh, you're that guy, isn't it? So why would you do that?
The thought of letting a train go drives me crazy.
Yeah, I'd love to be standing by the door if Kedra was about to just get on the train. I would push him off.
Not today.
Exactly.
I will get into someone's bugger and just squeeze in.
So you've never let one go in the underground, Kedra?
I've never let one go. I am squeezing on.
You're reluctant.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're squeezing it out instead. Lovely.
Anyway, thinking of squeezing something else out, we haven't squeezed this out in a long time. It's a good old game of Family Fortunes. And I came across a little poll this week, and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to save this for the Brownlow, because I think, I don't know if you're going to get this, but it was interesting. Okay. Like the list I got is the 100 best food cities in the world. And I've got the top 50 here in front of me. And I looked at 1 to 10 and I was like, you might get some of them. Some of them, I'd say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 10 are from the same country. Oh,
5 cities.
Don't know if that's a clue.
Okay, well, that's from India.
Don't know if that's a clue.
It's gonna be Desi, isn't it? That's India. Why you're saying it.
No. Pakistan. No. But hang on a minute. The five are not Desi, but there is one city from India in the top 10.
Okay.
Ooh.
Do you want to guess that one first? Three strikes, by the way, and then you're out.
One city in India.
I bet you it's south, isn't it, Tommy?
Where the...
Kedge, you've just done this again. Why wouldn't you just go for the obvious ones, you prick?
Who did the poll? Where's the poll, Sach?
It's from the... Oh, it just says Taste Atlas Awards 2025. See, there you go. You got a point, Kedge, because you were sensible. There we go.
Mumbai is in there.
Is Delhi not in there?
No, you just said one, Tom.
Delhi is not... I said one in the top 10. Delhi is in there, but it's at number 45. Mumbai was bang in the middle, number five.
So there's five better cities.
That's good for Mumbai.
But the top four now, so four of them above Mumbai, all from the same country.
So it's got to be a place.
Think of very popular food cuisine.
Where? Italy. Give me a city. Rome.
Ooh, Italy. He's already gone Italy. Rome is number six.
Oh, okay, less than Mumbai.
So there's
come on, Tommy.
Yes, I mean, so they're not Italian
cities.
Give
us another one, Tommy.
In 4-3-2-1.
Oh, no. Could be, Tommy.
Okay, so then let's go Naples and Florence. They've got to be there.
Naples? Yeah. Top answer.
Well done.
What?
Naples is number one.
Is it?
And Florence is number four.
Wow, Tommy killed two words with one stone there. Is Paris in it?
Very brilliant. Good. Okay. Paris is number seven, yeah. Kedge. Right, you guys actually do really well this time. Usually it's the you're done by now. Hang on. So you've got Naples at number one, you've got Florence at number four, you've got Mumbai at number five, you've got Rome at number six, and you've got Paris at number seven. So spots
Milan?
Number
Milan.
Milan is number two.
Oh, well done.
Right, wow.
Well done.
So we've got one,
well
two, done. Three.
One, two, no, you've got one, two, four, five.
I feel a Middle Eastern country has made it in the list.
No, but he said they're all going to be Italianized. It's going to be Naples, Rome,
Milan. I don't think you're going to get the rest of them, to be fair. Difficult.
Tokyo.
Close, Kedge. Oh. Close. Give me another city in there, from there. Japan.
We don't know any other ones.
Yeah.
Plays for Arsenal.
Wenger.
No.
Not per se.
Thierry Henry.
No.
Kedge
plays for Arsenal, England international, still plays.
Rice. Declan Rice.
Rice.
What do you know about?
What city do you know is called Rice? Osaka, number 10.
Oh, yeah.
Osaka doesn't play for Arsenal.
I've seen that.
Okay. I'm going to get. Saka does. Same thing.
Okay, a bit slow.
No. I'm going to give you the rest because I don't think I'm going to get them. Another one's from Italy. Another one's from...
What are they?
Ooh, where is that?
Just say the C's.
Satch can't pronounce it.
Number nine, Turin. Yeah. Number eight, Vienna.
Yeah. I was going to say Vienna.
Number seven, Paris.
Yeah.
Said that.
Number six, Rome. Number five, Mumbai. Number four, Florence. Number three, Bologna.
Bologna.
And then the top two... Naples. But Italy killing it with the food. And do you know what? I got to agree. Food in Italy is outstanding.
I've not been, but I'm sure it is.
And even when you stop for a basic pizza, they've all got, they should have proper atta. I ain't going to lie.
Proper.
I've been to Italy quite a lot. So I did a cooking course in Florence, which is why I know the food there is really good. Went there and literally cooked. I cooked with a guy who looked like David Ginola. He was a hunk. He was a good looking bloke. Right? So did that. Then, obviously, recently we went to the Amalfi Coast, but we flew into Naples.
Lovely. Naples.
Had a pizza there. That was amazing. And this year,
very nice.
We went up, we flew into Milan, drove up via Lake Como, had the most amazing food by Lake Como, and then drove on to Switzerland. That was amazing. The worst thing about it, are you ready? And you're both going to love this. The worst thing about it, and I should have known, on the way back from that Switzerland trip, we kind of come back via Lake Como. I go, that was so amazing. Let's go. But let's actually sit somewhere on the lake, like where we can look out to the lake, right? Not like in a restaurant tucked away. There's a place there, and there was, I saw the waiter, and I was dubious when I saw the waiter. I thought, I don't know, you know, I don't think the food's going to be that great here.
It's not authentic.
And then we ordered the food, and the food was not great. In fact, it was dreadful. It was like frozen food. It's like a frozen pizza. In fact, it's worse than a frozen pizza. Mm. And you know why I knew that?
Why?
The waiters were Indian. And I was like, right, you know.
Serving Italian food.
Right?
But the
disaster.
Yeah. And I'm there. And now we've already decided, because of the view, we'll take this cafe because it overlooks the lake. Here we are, blah, 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 you know that. I went, yeah, can we get a table? And he came out and he went, hello, hello. So, you know, all that kind of, you know, doing the accent. I thought, and then in my heart, I'm going, this ain't the real deal. I want a little chubby Italian man or a little old Italian grandma who's there in the background rolling out the atta like it's the allu alle pronte equivalent. And it was rubbish. But the food, you're right, the food in general, the tomatoes are more tomato-y, the basil's more basil-y. Oh,
yeah, it is. Just very quickly, do you want to guess the other three Indian cities while we're here? What else would you say? No.
No, it's not in there.
Another one that starts with an A. Another one that starts with an A. Your ends, Tommy.
Amritsar.
Yep, is number...
Amritsar is in the what?
It's in the top 50, it's number 43.
No, and you know what I say? What it is? No. They do a lot of their kind of Indo noodles and all that kind of stuff. They do that kind of food there. And apparently,
Chinese.
And you think? Imagine how good the chole patore are going to be there.
Number 43, Amritsar. Number 45, New Delhi. And number 50, Hyderabad.
Mm. Biryani place. That's Biryani town.
Town. So yeah, So that's a bit of the early things we've learned.
Yeah, but let me ask you this though. Okay, because I suddenly thought, all right, you know, where would you want to go then? Where would you want to go to eat that food? And out of all those places, what appeals? Japan definitely appeals. I've got a real calling for Japan. Yeah. I can't wait.
I want to go to Japan.
One day go there. Yeah. But where would you want to go and eat the food? Out of those places, now that you've heard all those cities.
Oh, for me, it's Italy. I've never been, so I would... That's the dream.
What?
I've never been to Italy.
Whoa. Rewind.
Never been to Italy.
Never been to Italy.
You've never been to Italy.
I've just missed it.
No, but Satch, they don't have a Benidorm there.
That's
do
it.
They? They don't have a.
This guy's been to Benidorm about 65 times, and you've never been to Italy. You've never been to Italy.
Never been. Shocking. I know.
I can't believe this.
But not Italy. It's a madness.
Italy is one of my favourite places in Europe.
You've DJed there quite a lot. You DJed some nice places over in Italy.
Yeah, all the time. It's lovely.
I saw a guy on TikTok. A large pizza from like Domino's or Pizza Hut was $19.99. So he went, nah. Surely with Ryanair, you can go and have a pizza in Italy for less than $19.99.
I saw
My guy went hungry with no luggage. Look at it. Went over and had a pizza. And actually, his pizza looked good, you know. And it was like 6-7 euros. He just got the margarita, but the bread looked wicked. And he made it back.
Beaut.
All on that money. But so what I'm saying is, Kej, you can literally get £10 tickets to Italy.
I'm going to be on it.
Go. Any part of Italy is lovely. I've been to quite a lot of places in Italy. It's so nice.
So in Naples is the place where apparently pizza was born. The oldest ever pizza place.
Yeah.
And they used to say, like the gangsters in the area used to almost use pizza like as a bargaining sort of thing. I think when you're about to go in prison, you go into a pizza parlor and you have a bit of pizza there, and you know, you can put it on credit, you can have your pizza on credit and all that kind of stuff. But it's where the mafia went. I say, let's do a little £20 cheap ticket day. Go in the morning, come back in the evening on a flight, and just go and have pizza in Italy with Kedge for the first time. We'll pop your pizza.
It was going well until you said Kedge was coming.
we can go and tell him all about it. But I think we'd love that, Kedge. Just have a little day trip. Let's do that. Let's do a little pizza day trip. But I know. Okay. So if you were going around, so where would you want to? So you want to eat Italy? Satch, where do you want to eat? Yeah, all the places.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've been to Florence so many times and it always hits the spot. I'd love to go back to Florence. There's one place I haven't been, Milan, and I'd love to go back to Milan. I've not been there.
Really? Okay, so if you were food connoisseurs, if this was almost like Gordon, Gino and the other one.
Yeah.
What would be your speciality? What are you going to go around the food and go around the world and try food-wise?
Yeah, Kedge, I think we know is easy.
What's that?
What's the one dish you're going to try?
One dish?
If you went anywhere. Yeah.
Actually, then maybe we should stick to desi. Okay, so you're going to a desi restaurant.
Desi.
You're the don of that one dish. What is it that you can review?
This is easy. Go on, Kedge. Shall I say it for you?
I'm going to say the mogo.
No, but not everywhere does mogo.
Okay. Indian restaurant. In which case, it would have to be the some sort of paneer curry.
Or a chili paneer.
Yeah. But
we can do that. Imagine that. Imagine going around the country and going, right, you know, we're going to order one chili paneer for Kedge from different restaurants.
Mm.
I would go lamb chops. I don't need many. Just give me two.
But I'll be honest with you, I'll test how good. There's a lot of chili paneer, which is just rubbish.
Exactly.
But it's the same with everything. There's a lot of rubbish food, yeah.
So you're the connoisseur of chili paneer. So you should go places and just go, right, we're going to... We should do this. We should turn up at restaurants and go... Because I have to eat at so many of these restaurants anyway. And you turn up there and go, right, give us your chili paneer, give us your two lamb chops, and Satch, what would be your dish? What can you really hold your own on and go, I know what it takes to make a good one of these?
It'd probably be a butter chicken.
Mm.
Perfect. Right?
Simple.
Then we should try the garlic naan as well while we're there.
Yes. Okay,
so back to the garlic naan.
No. Right? Hang on a minute. You get your hands out my garlic naan, mate.
No, because Kedge can have some of the garlic naan with his paneer as well. That'd be all right. Right? And then we'll have the lamb chops on their own. Me and you will share that, Satch. We'll leave him out of it. So that could... You know what? I'm telling you, that would work on TikTok.
That's it. That's all we review. Yeah. Paneer, chicken, lamb chops.
Yep. And say, veg, meat. You know, that's...
Paneer, chicken, lamb chops sounds like a show.
Paneer, chicken, lamb chops. Yeah, oh yeah, it's a good show.
PCL, LCP, couple, CPL. Yeah. Chicken, paneer, lamb chops. It's
brilliant.
Done. Sign us up. I met my neighbour the other day, and she said, I was quite proud of this, and she went, actually she's my mum and dad's neighbour because she's on this road where we are now. And I go, what do you do? She goes, I'm a lawyer at Netflix. Oh, I said, oh, brilliant. Right. What a job. And I said, oh, come along to this show, whatever. She goes, I'll tell you what I might do. I might bring a couple of the girls who do commissioning at Netflix to the show. I said, that'd be lovely. Tell them to come along, see us.
Mm.
She said, yeah. She goes, I'm not just bringing them because, you know. I said, what do you mean? She said, I'm not just bringing them because, you know.
Mm.
I went, what? She goes, they're Indian. I went, there's two female Indian ladies at Netflix.
Wow.
Commissioning films and shows and TV shows and reality. She goes, oh, yeah, they're big time. She said their names, so I won't say it. But I was like, made me really proud. That made me really, I was like, sick. Lovely. Go on, girls.
That's why there's so much brown content on Netflix nowadays.
No, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. No, but I think they're just commissioning all sorts, actually. I thought,
okay.
I was quite chuffed to that. I was like, well done, girls, because getting into that Netflix fortress, it's not easy.
No, but we're so far away from making content, unless he was, that's going to actually work on Netflix.
Look at that.
I'm sorry.
The guy that wants to put on the flipping festival and then he cuts Netflix short.
What a guy. Look, I don't want to go into it too much. We're almost finished. But, you know, recently, this Amir Khan movie that everyone's banging on about, right, is Zameen Par Tare, or, you know.
So
all this time, he's just spent 3 years thinking of the world. Word order of a film that is already made, Dar-e Zameen, but let's just switch it around. And then thinking,
who's Zameen?
Well, exactly. But the thing is, right?
You know what
this
it
film,
means.
This film,
Stars on Earth.
I didn't know
this
that.
This film,
like Zameen, like Jameen, like stars down there, like Dar-e, stars are on the Zameen. Zameen is like Jameen, we would say in Punjabi, of land. You know, so but basically saying there are stars amongst us here, real life stars.
Someone's mean.
You lot are so such a good film. God, yeah, but God, look, tell me why you're going to criticize it. People
are getting so excited. Oh, it's a beautiful film and blah, 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 and all of this. Oh, it's such a beautiful. Of course, it's a beautiful film. It's a rip-off of a Woody Harrelson film. And it's just like, well, this is not an original idea. what is. It's his last one. His last one was the Forrest Gump. And he was, what was it? Like Bug, not Bug, Mr.
Hang
Bug. But hold on a minute, American. You're supposed to be the king, the creative masterpiece, genius.
Jack. No, but they do this all the time. What was the Woody Harrelson film? White Men Can't Jump?
What film is it? Champions. And I'm just thinking, so this, I've seen that film, Champions. It's a brilliant film.
I've actually seen that. Yeah, it's a good film.
It's a great film. And it's emotional and, you know, it's about the you know, like a minor league basketball coach and he's ordered by court to go and, you know,
that's right.
This team of players who are, you know, disabled and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but why are Asian people getting so excited about this? He has not put anything new in. Yeah, even the trailer, he's copied it frame to frame. And I'm like, this...
There's loads of Hollywood films that rip off French films, for example. So that's quite, that's just the dumb thing. And by the way,
but that's the level we're at now. Like, wait, you're not even writing. Amir Khan's giving up writing original content.
No, but Amir Khan is kind of going, this is a beautiful film. Who else is going to bring it to the India massive? Let me do it with Sitare Zameen Par and put my own little twist on it and carry on the legacy of Tare Zameen Par. I think it makes sense.
It's has he whacked any songs in it?
Yeah, there's songs in it.
Yeah, there'll be loads of songs.
Yeah, so then he's changed it. It's fine. Yeah, exactly. It's allowed, isn't it?
He's done enough. What did I hear? Oh, it was Vanilla Ice. You know, did you watch this little video that's going around? Yeah. So the Vanilla Ice Ice Baby, that goes... Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, Tanda Tanda Pani.
Right? Yeah, Tanda, do you remember that? Tanda Tanda Pani. Right? But then, but the version from Queen, which they ripped off, right? So Queen version, Under Pressure. Was it Queen, wasn't it? Pushing Down on Me. Whoever done it.
Yeah.
But that one, their one doesn't go dun, 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 dun. It goes dun, dun. Basically, there's one less dun. All Vanilla Ice did was add an extra dun. So he went dun 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 dun. And this one just goes dun dun dun. And that's it. That's enough to kind of go, we've recreated it.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, but yeah, Amir Khan's version was crap anyway, well, so it makes that difference.
Amir Khan's done a proper legitimate version.
No, he ripped off Forrest Gump. Now he's ripped off the champion.
Fake, mate.
I'm
fake.
Not having it. I'm sorry. Not having it.
It's not ripped off. It's a recreation. It's a Bollywood recreation. No, I'm not having you giving it a bad mouthing Amir Khan. So when he comes to town, you know, he won't come and hook me up, and we won't be friends. Oh, yeah, we might be hanging out. So things we've learned. What are you going to go?
Yes.
Right, my one.
Shall I go first?
Okay, go on.
Yep. The thing I learned is, I didn't know this, the pattern on everyone's tongue is as unique as a fingerprint.
Oh, stick your tongue out.
I didn't know you had a pattern on your tongue.
So, do you know what? Forget the fingerprint on your phone. You just lick it.
Lick your phone.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
So it's the same thing, isn't it? It's the same thing.
Okay.
The same with doors, you know.
It's a fingerprint. Yeah, just change it.
Maybe when you get to the passport office and they go, put your four fingers in here. Just stick. They go, see that hole?
Lick it.
Stick your tongue in there.
Stick your tongue in there. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, what's on the other side?
That's the thing I've learnt this week. Easy one.
My one is that if you're like this, because how many years are we now on the brown load?
Six.
Coming up to seven.
Yeah.
Coming up to seven. So over six. Over six. Agree?
Yeah.
If a friendship, according to psychologists, doctors, lasts more than 6 years, these psychologists and doctors say it's going to last a lifetime. So I know we've been friends before then with the BBC days, but this podcast, I'm going to apply it to podcasts now. If a podcast lasts more than 6 years, it should last a lifetime.
Yep. He's jinxed it. That's it. Last one. Last one next week, guys.
But there you go. I thought that was nice. So if you're with your mate, let's bring it back to mates. If you're with your mates, or maybe you've got different friends, maybe you moved to a new area and you kind of got friends that now 5-6 years in, you're like, actually, if it lasts more than 6 years, and I get that. You think about the people that have been in your life for more than 6 years, like my uni mates. If you got that, they're now just there for life. You guys are going to be in my life for life. That's it. Well, I don't think I'll ever have to shake you off.
I think so.
We're stuck.
I think so.
Yeah. What you got, Kate?
Right.
What's your
my
thing you
one
learned?
Is it's. I was blown away by this, and I was like, I can't believe that I've not actually thought about this. But it's a word one. So the word for night in many languages is a derivation of N, the letter N, plus the number 8. Yeah. So in English, night, N plus 8. Night. Spanish, nocho, N plus 8. 8. Portuguese, noite, N plus 8. French, nuit, which is N plus 8. Right, 8.
Yeah.
German is nacht, N plus 8. 8. Yeah. Italian, N plus 8, notto. I can't believe we have never noticed this. But that is crazy.
And you didn't do the Hindi version.
And then I thought, the Desi version, art.
Rat. Yeah, rat.
Look at that.
Yeah. Why do you think, hold on, that's not a fact, that's half the information. Go on, I want to know why.
Well, I don't know why. But I just can't believe I just can't believe that all these European languages have this in common. And I think it's, well, I think it's to do with the fact that it's something to do with the, you know, they're all Indo-European languages. But then I thought, well, hold on a minute, the Indo version and is rat and art, and so therefore that's a bit strange. But yeah, it's something to do with phonetics and all of this kind of thing and linguistics, but I don't know the actual reason for it. But
it's because Amir Khan was in charge and he just thought he'd copy someone else.
But it just made me think, when I saw that, I thought, wow, why have I never seen that before?
No, but I love stuff like that, because I like kind of knowing, I suppose deep down, I want to know that everyone was all one anyway. So these are just like, something happened over time, meteors hit, whatever, split us all up, made us look a bit different, act a bit different, exposed to stuff.
We ain't dinosaurs, what are you on about?
No, but I'm saying something happened. We know something hit the earth, right? So I'm saying, why do Chinese people look like the way Chinese people look like? Why do African people look different from other black people from around the world? Why are brown people? You can look at someone who is of South Asian heritage and go, yep, Punjabi, yep, Gujarati, yep, South Indian, yep. We can just do that by features. What is it in the history of that downline that has meant that those features reigns? Like, where's that? I love stuff like that. And even like this word, Nath, Rath, Art, all that, all being like similar. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. I found that amazing.
That's got to go in the... But I want to know why. Like eight, like you sleep for 8 hours, maybe.
Maybe, you know? It's an 8 hour sleep, yeah. Anyway,
I like that.
Go research it some more, Tommy.
Sash is not interested in one little bit. I love stuff like this. Actually, that's a good one, Kedge. Probably my favourite one that you've ever done. But thank you very much. All right, nice little ramble. I'm going to say it now. I'm exhausted. I've had about an hour and a half sleep. My eyes are tearing. I'm trying to drink water just to stay awake. Some of the things that you were saying in today's podcast, I started to trip out.
Wow.
I'm telling you now, I'm listening to your words. I'm going, it all feels like a bit dreamy. So this is all very surreal right now. So I need to go and get some sleep.
You do that
next week. Later.
Later.